Welcome everyone to Good Night and Good Game, your source for geek news for the week that was. I'm your host, James, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Hector.
Hello.
This week on the show, after the news, we're going to be breaking down the PlayStation State of Play that just released. It was like yesterday. Right?
It was yesterday, yeah, at like 5 p.m. It was weird.
Yeah. Before we start, don't forget that you can head over to goodnight.gg, where as a patron of our show, you can suggest topics for us to talk about. Also, as a patron, you get access to our off-week episodes. So, before we go any further, this is to our patrons. First and foremost, thank you for everything. We have been getting new equipment because of our patrons. We really do appreciate that. I know that before we went off air for our holiday break, I said that we would have some new episodes for you. Unfortunately, during the break, I got a severe nerve problem that kind of prohibited me from sitting in a chair for too long. I'm actually really trying to just push through the episode today. I go in for treatment for it tomorrow. Hopefully we will have a fix for me after this whole episode goes to air. We still want to record those episodes for you as soon as possible. Just, I'm really sorry that I was injured during the downtime, so I wasn't able to record those. So yeah, with all that out of the way, let's talk about some fun stuff in the Prelude.
Prelude.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Prelude. It is time to dive into what we've been up to this week, what we've been playing, what we've been watching, what's been occupying our free time, and what has been making us happy. Hector, you've been off the air for a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
What you been doing?
Let's see. Well, we've done so much stuff. We haven't talked about so many things that we've seen since basically like around Christmas time, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff. We didn't really talk about Poor Things, I don't
know.
Nope,
we went and saw that. Fantastic.
We went and saw that. It was fucking incredible. I think my movie of the year, for sure.
I think
sure.
It was my movie of the year. We went and saw American Fiction.
Yeah, American Fiction was hilarious, and it was a comedy, like a real comedy, to like watch in theaters. It was great.
Yeah,
it had an awesome
fantastic
time. Yeah, we've seen a bunch of stuff. When it comes to video games, much of what is old is new. I am going back through Horizon Forbidden West right now to play the DLC. It's been great. I'm also playing Power World. That's a new thing. That is Pokemon with guns.
How is it?
You know what? It's a lot of fun. If you like survival games, it's great. If you like Pokemon, it's got all of that in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the way down to like breeding them and like for their best traits and doing things like you know, matching weaknesses to like strength. You know, mm-hmm. Like this guy's weak to electricity. I need an electric pal. That type of stuff. You know, it there's a lot of flow to the game. Plus, you're always building a base. Plus, when you do something like build a farm or build like a place for them to mine stone, certain pals, Pokemon, I'm just going to call them Pokemon, certain Pokemon will do those
Nintendo's
things.
Nintendo's lawyers are minutes away from busting down our door.
I'm going to call it like it is. This is free speech, motherfucker. Like, I didn't make any money. If I was making money off of Pal World and I called them Pokemon, I'd be in trouble. I ain't get a goddamn cent.
I've never actually, so I'm just a little too old to have been into the Pokemon craze, but I remember like when they were doing the whole like, oh no, the studio is going to get sued for this. And I was like, did none of y'all motherfuckers remember Digimon back in the day?
Yeah, there are at least two other very high profile Pokemon clones out there, guys. Yeah. Seriously. So that is, that's what I've been doing game wise.
Okay.
Movies have been great. TV, not too much. Fargo season 5 was incredible. It was my favorite season, but every season of Fargo is my favorite season of Fargo when you get me talking about it, because I'll talk about it for an hour, and then I'll change my mind and say this is my favorite season, mm-hmm. all except for 4.
Mm-hmm.
4 is an amazing season of television, but 1, 2, 3, and 5 are fucking perfect.
Yeah.
They're just you can't get around it. That is the best TV we have right now. IMO is just Fargo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just real quick, because I want to get it on air. So we are going to do a full Patreon episode about this. But yesterday I made you watch one of my favorite movies of all time. It is a British movie that not many people know about. It's called Franklin. It stars Ryan Phillippe and Eva Green. Just what are your basic impressions of this movie?
Oh, man. I have so many thoughts about this movie. If you took, you know, a really well done kind of darker early 90s superhero movie, think, you know, The Crow or Dick Tracy, something that's like, we're going to do the sets, we're going to make everything look like a comic, but we're going to make it practically, you know, it's really going to be there so people can touch it. That type of stuff. And then you took like an interesting documentary about an artist and a bunch of other people whose like lives are crossing paths, and you squished them together, and you know, through an entire fistful of Dark City into it, this is what you would get. It's wonderful. I love everything about Ava Green and Ryan Phillippe and every other character in this movie. It was great. Yeah,
aesthetic is the word.
The aesthetic is phenomenal. It's so good. And yeah, it both made perfect sense and no sense that I had never even heard of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was one of those things that's like, you never saw that? And it's like, motherfucker, nobody saw
it. It was produced by like a BBC movie company.
Yeah, and I would be more surprised if I didn't have a movie in my back pocket that I know no one has seen. And I'm always like, you guys would remember this movie if you fucking saw it.
Yep, and that's the way it was. And this was one of the sad realities of not having video stores anymore, is this was kind of in the death throes of video stores, that I found this on a shelf. And by the cover art alone, I went, I need to see whatever this is.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've seen now, and I saw that back around the time that it came out, it was around like 2010 or so. And I'm just like, please, everybody, watch this movie. It's called Franklin. Please watch it. It's so good. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Over on my side of things, what I've been doing with the break is with my nerve pain, I've been laying on my back a lot, which has sucked. I've been playing two games consistently. I've been playing Sekiro, which has caused me to be a much angrier person. I understand this. As I get into this discussion, understand that I never get angry at Souls games. And it may be a byproduct of the fact that I'm a little more irritable than usual because I have chronic pain currently.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to like play Sekiro with chronic pain, and I find myself getting a little angrier than normal when it comes to that game. It's also much more difficult than any other Souls game that's out there.
Yeah, and no matter in which a very one, different way,
yeah,
too.
I literally beat Demon's Souls and went right into Sekiro. And I've never had a frustration with a FromSoft game before. Going into Sekiro, more than any of the other FromSoft games, it requires you to be hyper-focused, hyper-vigilant of how the parry system works. Like, it punishes you for not being good at the game. And one of the best pieces of advice that I ever got about playing the game didn't come from some random YouTuber. It was from you, who said, stop trying to engage with the game fairly. The game is not fair.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're cheating the game, that's how you're winning the game.
Yep. 100%. Yeah. The game has no respect for you or your time. Yep. It will murder you in a million ways you cannot see. If what you're doing you think is cheese, then that might be the only way to win.
Yep.
Like, straight up, I was watching, because you've been playing it, I've been going back through Vati's old stuff just for nostalgia's sake, because I was watching his videos while I was playing the game when it came out, and it was a great experience. And I'm watching him, like, little by little says, hey, there's a little hidden purple guy up here on the hill at the very beginning of the game, and he's real fucking hard. And you can either get good and fight him, or you can run away, and when he walks back, you can sneak attack him. Or you could use the patented Vati trick where he tries to kick, but I'm at the bottom of a hill, and he misses me. And I chip him, and I chip damage him in the ankle like 30 times. And then he dies.
Yep, there you go.
And sometimes that's how you got to play.
That's the fairness of Sekiro. Yeah. Aside from that, I've been playing the Death Stranding Director's Cut, which is very relevant to what we're going to be talking about in a little bit. I also just want to toss just kudos out there. I watched Masters of the Universe Revolution.
I watched the first episode of that, two episodes.
And it's the second half of the project Kevin Smith was working on. A lot of people can give Kevin Smith a lot of shit for the way that he's become a director in his later years. One of the things I could tell you about Kevin Smith, and this is specifically speaking to having watched the CW shows, when he's writing his own stuff, it can be hit or miss for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
When he is playing in somebody else's sandbox, the man is immaculate.
Oh, yeah.
This man, I was a child who was obsessed with He-Man growing up. And I know a lot, like, I did deep, deep lore dives into, like, I could talk about He-Man in a way that is probably unhealthy for most people, because that was my obsession as a kid. And we found out later in life that He-Man was directly influenced by the works of Lovecraft. Holy shit, all of my things are coming full circle in my life.
Yeah.
But Kevin Smith approaches He-Man that same way, with that same level of lore, with that same level of care. He busts out action figures that were like the third and fourth generation He-Man figures that everybody just threw away because they were like, this is garbage.
Yeah, like,
and
what
just,
is this?
And he just brings them to the forefront of the show. And I had forgotten all about these characters. And it's brilliant. And I watched, there's only five episodes. They're only, you know, like 30 minutes each.
Yeah,
I watched it all in one sitting. And the only thing I can say about it is like my heart.
Yeah.
Like, to watch somebody care and love a piece of media the same way that I do. Like, and this is not a brag. It's like the worst thing to brag out of the world. I was watching, like, episode one or two, and they introduced the character of Hordak, who's being voiced in this show by Keith David. One of the most amazing voices of all time.
Oh, yeah.
But Hordak in the original cartoon had this thing where whenever he would get really excited at some it's whatever evil plot that he had come up with, he would snort. And I'm watching this new version of the show, and at some point the Hordak finds himself amusing and he snorts while he's laughing. And I had to take a moment and I just like tweeted at Kevin Smith and I was like, of all the references you put into He-Man, into this show, the fact that you kept Hordak's snort in this is blowing my fucking mind.
To have Keith David like sounding evil as all fuck, and then he just lets off a snort, like a laugh snort. Yeah, like a laugh snort, like a nerd getting too excited about Star Wars. It's just so good.
And not in the time that I had finished hitting post and like double checking Twitter real quick, he had already liked my post. Like that's the level of fan. Like he's been like looking at Twitter all week, just going like looking for everybody who's posting about He-Man because like he's excited to see people's responses to it.
Yeah.
And like, it was really awesome to see that he really does want to engage with the community in that way, because it is something that's very beloved to my heart. It is something that's very close to me. And again, to see somebody take that kind of care with the franchise that I love, like, it meant the world. There are references to the He-Man movie in the new series. Like, I need you to understand that. Like, this is a movie that most people are like, that movie's garbage. And I watched that movie at a drive-in with my grandmother when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
That movie means a lot to me. And, like, the fact that they made movie references in the new series, I was like, good fucking God. All right, hats off to you. You fucking did it. All right, that's everything that we've got for the Prelude this week. We're going to take a small break. When we come back, we'll be going into the news and the Weekly Raid.
The Weekly Raid.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. It is time for the Weekly Raid, your roundup of this week's geek news. Kicking things off this week, it sounds like the sequel to 28 Days Later is finally happening. There are talks about possibly a couple of sequels to 28 Days Later. So there was 28 Days Later, there was 28 Weeks Later, and for the last like 15 years or so, every year they've been like, hey, by the way, the sequel is actually happening to the movie. Mm-hmm. But it is now happening.
Yeah.
We know that Cillian Murphy is going to be executive producing the film.
Mm-hmm.
We already have the scripts. The scripts are in hand.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that blows my mind about this, and this is the thing that you think about when they talk about, oh, hey, they're doing a Scott Pilgrim revival.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing anybody ever says is, man, those actors were nobody when they did Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who the fuck Cillian Murphy was when he was in 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later.
No, the first scene of it, his dick's out.
Yeah.
Yeah, straight up. He's just in a hospital bed, just dick out.
Yeah.
In the first scene of that movie. If you want to see very soon to be Oscar winner Cillian Murphy's human penis.
If you
want to
see Oppenheimer's dong.
Yeah. If you thought there wasn't enough dong in Oppenheimer, this movie has got you covered.
Yep.
It's got everything you wanted to see.
And yeah, he's coming on to executive produce, and it's more than likely there will at least be one guest appearance of his character from those movies.
Oh, God, yeah, I hope so. I mean, if he's executive producing, I mean, all he has to do is show up and, like, you know, like he's already an actor and a character. Like, he's right. Good.
Let's keep the horror train rolling. Diablo Cody, the genius behind the horror film Jennifer's Body, and the upcoming Lisa Frankenstein that she's doing with director Zelda Williams.
Damn, that looks good.
I know, right? And yes, that is Robin Williams' daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Opened up about the recent cult following of Jennifer's Body. This is a movie, by the way, if you're not familiar with it. When it came out originally, it was very critically panned because everybody was really shitting on Megan Fox as an actress.
Yeah, and also we're Americans and things for girls are stupid.
Right.
Yeah, because goddamn.
Yeah, and over the last 10 years or so, it's become a cult hit and people are going, oh God, we're just now seeing the messages it was trying to say.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Diablo Cody said, you know, I'm not done with Jennifer's Body. I just need to find a partner and people who believe in it as much as I do. And that really hasn't happened yet, but I do want to do a sequel.
Yeah.
And then kind of corrected herself and said, but I also need somebody who believes in it as much as I do that also has like $1 billion.
Right. Yeah.
So if you've never seen Jennifer's Body, please do yourself a favor. If you love horror, watch it. It was cool. It's genuinely really cool. Yeah, it's cool. It's fun. It was so ahead of its time. The message that it has. It's so interesting when you see recent interviews with Megan Fox, because they'll be like, Megan Fox, did you realize that there was all this stuff being said in Jennifer's Body? And she's like, I'm just wondering how long it was going to take you fuckers to read what the message was.
Yeah.
Apparently it took about 10 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is what it is. Well, let's see here. What's up next? Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan are teaming up for a genre movie. Now, this has been floating around Hollywood for a while. Nobody knew what kind of genre movie they were making. This is, of course, the amazing team who's worked on things like Black Panther together.
And Creed.
And the Creed.
Perfect boxing
which
movie.
Is also a genre movie.
Absolutely.
Turns out they are working on a vampire movie together.
Ooh.
And
it's not Blade.
No, it's not Blade. It's just a vampire film, and currently multiple studios are trying to get their hands on it.
Yeah.
It's being said that the budget that they are asking for and that studios are willing to give them is upwards of $90 million. Because
a horror movie.
It's a period piece.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds fucking awesome. Like, frankly, I got to see this movie.
Right.
Like Ryan Coogler is an easy yes on any day of the week. Same with Michael B. Jordan for the most part. Like,
yeah.
There were good and bad parts of Creed 3, but as a director, he's fantastic. And as an actor, he's beyond reproach. So, yeah. You know, I'm all there. I'm there day one. Yep. Fucking awesome.
All right, movie train is rolling, Hector. In happy news, Godzilla Minus One is now the third highest grossing foreign language film in the U.S. ever, just behind Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and Life is Beautiful.
So I am having the hardest time seeing this movie. I have been trying to watch this fucking movie in theaters for like 2 months.
You've been trying to get us tickets for
I've been trying to get tickets forever. The best shot we had was tonight. But we decided to do a show for y'all instead.
That's like, how much we were excited about doing the show.
Yeah. Like the things I've heard about this movie are like best movie. Deserving of Oscar nominations. And it's a Japanese movie about Godzilla. And from what I understand, people come out of that theater like, holy fucking shit. That movie was deep and interesting and fucking cool. And like I cannot wait to see this movie, and I don't want to do it. Like let me see it in theaters. Alamo Drafthouse, what are you doing?
Get your shit together.
Why can I only watch this movie on a weekday at like 6:50 with one showing a day? What the fuck
that
is wrong with you?
They have been selling out.
If they sell out, they're all sold out. I'm sure the showing tonight is sold out. Why can't I watch this at Saturday at 2 with my movie crew, like I do every other movie I watch? What the fuck?
Yep.
Help me out. Tim League, I know you listen to this podcast.
God damn.
Fix your shit.
Matthew Vaughn, who is the director of X-Men First Class, was on a podcast recently where he opened up about the Deadpool 3 script, saying, quote, "The few snippets that I know about Deadpool versus Wolverine or Wolverine versus Deadpool," I'm sure that argument between Ryan and Hugh is happening as we speak, "are unbelievable." So he's saying that the Marvel Universe is about to have a jolt of life into it. and it's going to be bringing the body of the Marvel Cinematic Universe back to life. He says, I think that Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman are about to save the whole Marvel Universe. He says, I'm a genuine fan of the X-Men, and all I want is for the movies to be as good as they should be.
I mean, I feel that. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I'm really, 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 really glad that the only Marvel movie we have this year is Deadpool. Mm-hmm. That's amazing to me. We needed that correction. We had too much Marvel after Endgame. After Endgame, you should have given us a year, and you didn't. There's too much. And now a movie like The Marvels, which was fucking great, barely anyone went to go see it. And they're all going to watch it at home and be like, oh.
That was good.
That was good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your TV has been super hit or miss. Loki is basically the Andor of the MCU. Loki is phenomenal. Loki season 2 is great. And Secret Wars was shit from a butt.
Yep.
That was so bad. And I wanted it to be good. That was fucking awful. That was terrible. So, yeah, I really, really want this movie to come out and be amazing. And here's my other take, and I really just thought of this just now. This is an R-rated movie.
Yep.
Right? And they were only going to do an R-rated movie. So we're going to get an MCU movie that is just fucking, like, dick and fart jokes and, like, all the other great stuff that I'm really looking forward to. But here's the thing about setting the tone for the rest of the MCU that has another 6 months to even start coming out, if not 8. We're about to dive headfirst into James Gunn's DC universe. And I doubt it's going to be very clean the way that Marvel was clean. So this may be a time to set the tone for, like, a different kind of Marvel universe. And I'm not saying everything needs to be rated R and everything needs to have, you know, the James Gunn flair to it. Please don't try and copy
him. You're saying
that you will fail.
Many more characters named Martha should be showing up in the MCU.
Absolutely. I'm saying that as far as the tone of the MCU goes, we should switch that. Because the mistake that Marvel made years ago is being made by Sony right now. I know this isn't part of the news, but do you guys realize that we are getting 3 Spider-Man adjacent movies this year? 3. We're getting Madame Web for Valentine's Day. After that, we have Kraven the Hunter coming out. And before the end of the year, we're getting Venom 3. What the fuck is happening right now?
Right.
Like,
it's ridiculous.
Sony, what are you doing?
Like, get your shit together.
I honestly can't wait to watch Madame Web in theaters because I know no one is going to.
Oh,
and
God.
It's going to be such.
We are going to, like, be throwing popcorn at the screen.
It's going to be delicious trash. Like, I am positive because I love Dakota Johnson and I like it when girls kick ass. And this movie is going to try really hard to be that and somehow fail.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, I'm in. Like it's gonna be a hilarious time. I can't wait to tell you guys about it. But yeah, that's my take on Deadpool.
There you go. The fantastic 80s film The Lost Boys is coming back, and not with those crappy direct-to-video sequels that had come out forever ago. It is coming back as a musical. If you're curious about it, there is a trailer on YouTube under Lost Boys, a new musical.
I mean, you kind of had me at Lost Boys,
yep.
But then, like, you absolutely had me at musical. If you said there's a new musical coming out, it would have been like 100% in. What is it? And then you said Lost Boys, it'd be like, oh, great. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah. There's no way that I wasn't going to be all about this. Oh, God. Because you know that, and I know this probably isn't happening, but in my head, you know that Kiefer Sutherland is, like, the lead singer in a band, right?
You know, it could happen.
Yeah, yeah. Like, not like, you know, the way that Keanu plays in a band. Like, there's a band that features this person.
Right.
And, like he could do a musical,
he could.
I guess.
Or it'll contribute a song, if nothing else.
Oh, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's swap gears and head over to some video game stuff. Blizzard has struck a multi-year deal with the ESL Facelift Group. It's a professional esports organization to pick up where the Overwatch League left off. They're going to be crafting a new tournament format for the game that would allow anyone with enough skill to make it as an Overwatch esports professional.
Okay.
So it's a third-party group. It's not the Overwatch League anymore. the teams are no longer going to be city-based teams. They're going to be more classical, like, you know, Cloud Nine-style teams, which sucks, but that's how these things go.
Mm-hmm.
But Blizzard is working alongside this group that they're going to have all the same perks of the Overwatch League, right? You'll get Overwatch League adjacent tokens or something like that,
okay,
for watching games or skins or whatever. It's just out of Blizzard's hands at this point.
Right. And that's probably for the best considering everything that's been going on at Microsoft Blizzard the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So some video game history. Sometime after the game Bloodborne came out and was wildly successful, it became a joke between Bloodborne fans that it was only a matter of time until we saw Bloodborne branding on everything. They said, even someday we will see a Bloodborne kart racer. Well, that joke actually inspired Lilith.zip, who's an indie game designer, to actually make the PS1-style Bloodborne kart racer. Now, as a Bloodborne fan, I've been following this project for years. Unfortunately, after all this time, the Bloodborne kart racer was about to launch. Like, it was just, you know, days away from happening, when suddenly Sony sent a request for the name change and some of the assets to be altered within the game.
Mm.
Now, before we go throwing pitchforks at Sony, understand that Lilith actually said she had been fully expecting for this to happen and just needed a short delay to just reskin everything and just make it into like a dark gothic kart racer.
Right. And remember, this is literally the we absolutely have to do this to protect her IP move.
Yep.
They could have sent her a cease and desist years ago.
Absolutely.
And they were like, no, this is adorable. Please do it. For legal reasons, we're going to need you to like not do this. And she saw it coming. Hopefully that means she either had good counsel who told her, or hopefully she was in communication with them and they were like, okay, but in the end, you can't do these things, you know?
Pretty much.
That's good.
That's what it is. So it's going to suck. We'll know in our heart of hearts, and it's going to be a free game, by the way.
Yeah.
So just like in our heart of hearts, we will know that it's actually Bloodborne.
Yeah.
And there it is. I would not be surprised if it had a mode where you could do reskins on your own and somebody just accidentally leaked the patch of like, here's the Bloodborne skins.
Yeah. It's like, hey, in this screen right here, there's a website. Maybe you want to click on that website.
Right. CD Projekt Red opened up this week about the remake of The Witcher, saying that first and foremost, we actually need to have an honest, down-to-earth analysis about what parts of the original Witcher game are bad, outdated, and need to be remade,
mm-hmm.
but also highlighting the parts that are great and should be retained and are the direct pillars that cannot be discarded.
Right.
So,
100%
Hector,
agree.
The original version of The Witcher, which things need to be removed? Flat out.
Okay, so we're getting around to that. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there, right? So let's talk about, like in The Witcher 1, mm-hmm. you had really, really janky combat. Like the
rhythm game?
The rhythm game. The engine wasn't meant to handle actual combat, and it didn't, right? So that is absolutely something that should be changed. However, there is a thing going on in the game where there are monsters that are specific, and you have a whole dictionary of monsters and an encyclopedia that tells you what they're weak to, what they're strong to, what kind of potions you might need to fight them, and you have to prepare. You have to prepare yourself for these fights. That's a good thing. That should be kept. There is a lot that you didn't have a run button, and there was a lot of distance to travel. That needs to be fixed. Either change the distance or give me a run button or fast travel, right? Like quality of life things, that needs to be changed. What absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, needs to be removed from this game. There was a mini game where you could romance all kinds of characters in this game. And I mean all kinds of characters. And when you betted them, you earned a playing card. And you could collect them all. That was literally like a thing. It's like, I banged all these women. And like, and you had cards. There was cards with like scintillating art, you know, about your sexual conquests in this really low poly video game. That needs to go. Among other things, there's, you know, the Witcher universe can be a whole lot of things that they don't need to change. Like I heard recently that they were trying to tone down the sexism of one of the characters in the live action Avatar make. The sexism that he has is his character arc. It's literally his character arc. He starts out a fucking misogynist, and over the course of the show, he becomes a fucking ally. He realizes how great and strong and smart and independent and wonderful women are and appreciates them and all of that. It's his character arc. And for some reason, they're taking that out because, like, that, like, that's a story beat. Mm-hmm. The game, though, like certain there are other things in games where, like, this is just misogynist in its writing.
Right.
This is just misogynist in its material. It's not a character arc. It's not in service of the story. We really need to be able to differentiate between these things is what I'm saying. But in The Witcher, there are, yeah, several problematic things when it comes to story structure and the use of women in certain ways when all of the women in The Witcher stories and Sapkowski's stories, and when you go into The Witcher 2 and 3, all very strong characters, very good characters, characters with depth, characters with meaning.
They're not characters there that are in service of
right.
Geralt.
They're not there to be tits to rescue, basically. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, there's a lot of that that could absolutely be reimagined and redone and undone. And it sounds like they're taking the proper amount of respect and interest in this remake. There's a lot of good examples of great remakes lately, so I hope they're paying attention. I have nothing but hope for this game because The Witcher 1 is a game that, like, I dabbled in but didn't finish. But I really liked it, which is why I fell so hard into The Witcher 2.
Okay, so, new year, new us, all of that. Mm-hmm. So, I know for the last couple of years we've closed out our news segments with a news segment we affectionately titled, Blizzard, Are You Okay?
Yeah, and they never were. And, you know,
they never were.
Yeah. Now they're under the Microsoft umbrella. And so if we ever need to go back to that, it would be Microsoft. Are you okay?
Yeah.
And we'll get there.
We will get there. But we have a new segment. I do not have a new catchy name for it yet. It's a little dark. Not that our Blizzard segment wasn't dark, but
yeah. It's
important that this is being talked about. And I hope that we understand what is going on in the video game industry, who the people who make the things that we love, this is happening to them. So I'm just going to read it all out.
Yeah.
Just in the last couple of weeks, Airship Syndicate, the Wayfinder studio, has laid off 12 people. Sega of America has laid off 61 people in Irvine. Embracer Studio has laid off around 30 workers and canceled one Deus Ex project. Eidos Montreal has laid off 97 people. Discord laid off 170 employees. Riot is about to lay off around 530 people. And 1,900 people were laid off at Microsoft across several gaming divisions.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard time to be a game maker. It's a hard time to be an entertainment, to be honest. Mm. It's fucking hard out there, guys. It really is. And I don't know what we'd call the segment. Like if we could get... Like, we have these beautiful displays behind us. Mm-hmm. Displayed is for your listening. A sponsorship would be incredible. Maybe send us a few more. Maybe send us one that has a dry erase marker board on it. And we can put this many days since entertainment industry layoffs on it, you know, right up here on the wall. And maybe that'll be the segment because, like, this became a trend. Like, it's always been a thing, of course. There's always been layoffs, especially when it comes to the games industry. When big projects end, it used to be de facto, like, we lay off the team and then they get hired on another project at the same company.
Yep.
It's less done these days. These layoffs are more like, we just need fewer people. Fuck off. We need money to buy back our own stock. Like get out of here. We will do more with less, you know? So, yeah, the trend got bigger and bigger, and they all kept saying, oh, man, it's the end of the year. We really got to tighten it up. It's the end of the year. We really got to tighten it up. You know, bear with us, guys. We'll get through this. And come January, and over the last 5 weeks since we've talked to y'all, I mean, what did all that come out to? Like 15,000 people laid off or something like that?
Yeah.
Like holy shit. Holy shit. Like, these are – what does that do to the economy? Like the economy alone, like in the areas where these studios are, must be devastated. That's people not paying rent, people not paying for groceries, people not paying for daycare, for healthcare, for everything. But what I really want to talk about is the resounding impacts it will have on the things that we love. especially video games, which is hit the hardest by this. Like, you were losing talent. Like you just lost the next, like, studio that was going to be Devolver Digital. You just lost the next Remedy. You just lost the next CDPR, you know, by just laying people off and having them abandon the industry. Real talent. Some of it veteran talent. Like, I can't understand how this is a good business decision to anyone. This seems like a cheap cash grab on the backs of people's lives. Talented people who have made you a lot of fucking money. So, yeah, maybe it's a 0 days since thing. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But since it's only been 1 month and we're already at over half the layoffs we had all of last year, we're going to have to keep track.
Yeah,
because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I know that's a hard way to wrap up this segment, but we have to talk about this every week until we see differently.
Yeah.
And it's important that everybody be informed that the stuff that they... the media that they consume is being hit the hardest right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the last thing that I would say is that when it comes to these layoffs, Riot had some layoffs. And what they did was reported was that they gave every person they laid off
530
people. 530
people. Yep.
6 months' salary. 6 months' salary for their layoff.
And insurance for part of it, too.
And insurance for a portion of it as well. This needs to be the law. Like, you can't just send people out to the wolves knowing that, like, over half of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, especially people like, you know, graphic artists and the game designers. So 6 months, at a bare minimum. You know, that needs to be the thing. Like we need laws around this because we will have to keep reporting on this until there's legislation so that behavior changes. You can't just keep doing this to people.
Yep. And as it keeps happening, we're going to keep talking about it. But for now, we're going to take a small break and try and raise our spirits a little bit as we go into our main topic in the Boss Room.
Boss Room.
Hey, everyone, welcome back to the show. This is The Boss Room, our main topic for the week, sometimes related to the news, sometimes not. This week, we're going to be talking about the recent PlayStation State of Play. There was a lot of fun stuff that was shown, so let's just jump right into it. It was small enough that we could talk about everything that was shown.
Yeah.
So we're just going to start from the beginning, wrap to the end. The first thing that we saw was Helldivers 2.
Helldivers 2.
You've been super excited about.
Oh, yeah. So I own this game on my PlayStation 4. It was amazing. I had a great time. Then it came out on Steam, and I bought it again to play with all of my friends who have Steam, which is more than have PlayStations. It was great there. At the time, it was a top-down third-person shooter where you and a squad of two other of your friends were dropped onto an alien planet via, like, dropship, like you're a Starship Trooper, and then you bust out and you're shooting aliens. You're shooting big aliens, small aliens. Some of them explode. Some of them have fangs. Some of them have guns. And in order to help you out, you earn currency by killing aliens, and then you drop bigger things because the hordes are going to get bigger. So it's like you and your machine gun, or you and your sniper rifle, or you and your rocket launcher and mines, and then it needs to be you and your buggy with a machine gun on it that your friend is piloting and the other friend is shooting at the side of Halo style. Then it needs to be you and your mobile artillery platform that your friends all jump into and shoot in all directions while you defend a point. Then it needs to be you and your three friends and your fucking flamethrower mechs as you stomp around murdering all the aliens in front of you. This was a very fun game. Very, very fun game. Helldivers 2 has been shown a few times now, and I couldn't be more excited because they moved to over-the-shoulder third person. It scaled everything up so it's a little more impressive, and it seems like kept all the rest of it. You're talking about a game with, like, always friendly fire on. You can always kill your teammates with the massive ordnance you have, and not doing so is part of the game. Up to and including the point where if you need to drop a flamethrower mech in an area, you can drop it directly on an alien. And that kills that alien. You better fucking believe it. That's an orbital drop.
Mm-hmm.
It also kills your friends. So he shouldn't stand there. And you should warn him if he is standing there. So that's the level of cooperation you need. I had so much fun with the amazing design and fluidity and fun of the first one. I cannot wait for this game.
All right. Next up was Stellar Blade.
Everything about this game looks pretty cool, except for the art style.
Okay.
The art style gives me a little bit of ick. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm just old. I am. I turned 40 this year. But, like, when you fall into the other side of Twitch and, like, every person streaming has an anime avatar.
Yeah.
And it's always this, like, perfectly beautiful, stylized character. And, you know, and they're just, you know, and their mouth moves while the person plays video games
YouTubers
and stuff.
Are a big thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's what this looks like. Mm-hmm. That's what she looks like. It's awkward. It looks like the kind of anime that could turn into hentai at any second, and it doesn't. But it's just a little icky.
Is very thin.
It's just a little icky, and I would prefer a little more grit in my post-apocalyptic battle RPG than the anime aesthetics of VTubers.
Okay.
But
fair.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with that. Like, yeah. It would take a lot to convince me to pick it up because it seems like, just from the art style alone, that it just might not be my thing.
Yeah.
And that's a weird feeling to have.
Because there are legitimately a lot of really great VTubers that are out there.
Absolutely, yeah. Nothing at all against VTubers. They're cool as hell. I'm just talking about, like, there's a specific kind of art style that just seems like it doesn't belong in the scenario that it's in.
Okay. Sonic X Shadow Generations. That's a weird one.
I don't fuck with Sonic at all these days. I don't know.
The bringing back of Shadow the Hedgehog, the most... I don't know. Early.
Remember when he had machine guns and said "fuck"?
Right. Yeah. Back when, like, Shadow the Hedgehog had a pistol and listened to Linkin Park. Like, that's.
Yeah.
And I say that as somebody who does legitimately listen to Linkin Park. I'm just throwing that out there. But yeah, I mean, it got some people excited. Some people were like, "Eh, you know, I'm on."
Yeah.
I haven't played
more
Sonic. I haven't played a Sonic game in a while that I liked. So
yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of great Sonic games. But it's just not my genre.
Yeah, there's the game ZZZ that got a gameplay trailer.
Yeah. No, I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine. Let's jump into Foam Stars. So it got
Foam Stars.
Foam Stars got this big gameplay trailer.
Yeah.
It's coming out to PlayStation Plus for free on February 6th. This is their version.
So you're driving to the store and you're like, "Hey, mom, can we get Splatoon?" And she's like, "We have Splatoon at home."
Yep.
That's Foam Stars. Like it is the exact same game.
Yep. Nobody told anybody at Sony that calling something a foam party and not understanding what that term actually means in certain circles is a bad thing.
That's a hilarious moment for millennials. Like, millennials officially became old when they did this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's a Foam Stars. It looks like a lot of fun. And if it's free to play and multiplayer, I'm going to play it day one. Sure. It looks fun. I got a PS5. Like, let's give it a shot. I'll slide around on some foam at a party.
Been to those kind of parties before, have you?
Yeah. Me and Penn Jillette.
But have you been to the kind of party where Dave the Diver is coming to PS5 with Godzilla DLC?
So finally, for, like, Dave the Diver on PS5, but, like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing was, I saw the trailer for this one. It just legit looked like absolutely like Godzilla, but in Dave the Diver art. It was so cute. Mm-hmm. It was so good. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I've been playing Dave the Diver myself. I've been playing it on Steam, mostly on my Steam Deck. It's a wonderful game. About catching fish and serving it at your sushi restaurant.
Yeah. V Rising, which is a Diablo-style game.
Oh, yeah. No, V Rising is
a survival game,
much like Pal World, except there are no Pokemon to get. Mm-hmm. In V Rising, you are a vampire. You are the living dead. You are the powerful, you know, manifestation of vampirism. And then you walk outside, and there's a forest, and there are trees, and there's the sun. And if you walk into the sun, you can die.
You're going to have a bad time.
You're going to have a real bad time. So what you need to do is chop down some trees, harvest some stone, and start building your motherfucking castle.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to kill some beasts so you can harvest their bones. Because when you burn beast bones, it creates a demon
fucking
fog.
God.
And the demon fog blocks out the sun. So you can be around that, and that's where you want to build your base. And you have to keep adding beast bones to the pyre so that your fog doesn't run out, so that you don't roast in your own castle. It is so
cool. You're legitimately just describing what my dreams look like.
Yeah, this game is so much fun. I played it in early access with my buddy Ross. We had a great time. You know, when it fully comes out, I would love to dive back in. This is a game by Stunlock Studios, the makers of my favorite fighting/combat game of all time, Battle Right. I love this game so much. It's like if a fighting game and a MOBA had a baby, because it's like fighting in a MOBA style, but like everything was very much fighting game based. You had to know your matchup, you know, had to know your abilities, you had to know the environment in order to take out your opponents. And it was 2v2 or 3v3, and goddamn is that game amazing. And I'm so mad at that company for giving up on that game. But this has all their pedigree. The combat when you're a vampire feels great. I love this game. The aesthetic is perfect for what it is. And I can't wait to play this with more friends. It might not be on PS5, but that doesn't matter. I love this game and I want to play more of it.
All right. So I'm going to preface the next couple things that we're about to talk about with. We were both watching this. We weren't together because I wasn't at work that day. But we were talking to each other via chat while we were watching it. And they said, basically, they were like, next up, let's talk about Silent Hill. And I sent you a message that said, this better not disappoint me.
And then I said, well, still watching the trailer. It says free to play tomorrow, so it's probably going to be disappointing.
So the first thing they announced was a game called Silent Hill: The Short Message, which at time of recording came out literally today. It is a free-to-play game.
Actually today.
Free-to-play game. It's very short from what we hear. It's only a few hours in length.
I was assuming the worst. I was assuming Silent Hill Ascension 2. It's like nothing, like microtransactions are literally the buttons you use to play the game.
Yeah. What this sounds
apparently
like,
that's not it.
You had the best description for this. Like, we haven't played it yet.
Oh, yeah.
Your description earlier today was pretty spot on.
Yeah, it's like, I wonder if Konami had a bunch of leftover PT assets and we're like, you know what? That was Silent Hill anyway. Why don't we just use them?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of first person walking through hallways and walking through doors into really scary shit. Like, that was kind of the whole idea of the trailer.
Yeah. And then following that, we got the, and I don't want to talk too much about that because I'm probably going to play it over the next week and I'll have a better opinion then. A new trailer for the Silent Hill 2 remake got shown. And I have feelings about this trailer as a Silent Hill fan.
So I'm going to start before you begin by saying that the game looks pretty good.
It looks
like a very faithful recreation of Silent Hill 2.
Yep.
It looks like when you play the game, you're just going to get Silent Hill 2.
Great.
Now go ahead.
Just with more graphics.
Yeah.
But I have feelings as a Silent Hill fanboy. And my feelings were, normally if you were to come up to me and say, hey, James, I just heard like a rock metal kind of cover of the theme song to the theme from Silent Hill 2, I'd be like, put that in my ears, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Or broette. Please. But when you put that song in with a trailer to Silent Hill 2, which is a game that is very much a game, melancholy is the word of the fucking game.
Yeah.
It is a sad game.
Sad.
There is no fun in Silent Hill 2.
No one's having fun.
And then it's a very well-known fact that the combat in Silent Hill 2 is not good.
Right. It's bad for a reason.
Bad. It is intentionally very bad for a reason.
You shouldn't be fighting things. They look like demons. And not like fun, I know the rules of how to kill a vampire demons. Like, this thing has like seven legs and a mouth on its abdomen. Oh, God.
Maybe no.
Yeah. Maybe a gun won't kill it. What the fuck do I know about this thing?
No, Tommy, you shouldn't try and fuck it.
Yeah.
But what we got was this trailer for Silent Hill 2 that had this metal version of the theme song that showed off the main character just killing things.
Yeah. Whole trailer was combat.
And I'm like, I don't know, like, if I'm...
Yes.
This is a personal preference thing. The game is about psychological horror, and empowering James Sunderland to be a killing machine does not feel like it vibes with the original intent of the game.
Yeah, every situation I saw the protagonist in that trailer made me think, oh, he's going to die. Like, he's right about to die. That character cannot get out of that. I've played this game. He walked into a trap. He's about to see the you died screen, and he's going back to the save point. And they never showed that. But you know what it made me want to do? It made me want, and I haven't done it yet, it made me want to watch original Silent Hill 2 trailers. Yeah. Because they weren't fucking like that.
No.
It wasn't, here's James beating a weird, creepy demon dog with a 2x4. Here's James firing his pistol into a bigger thing. Here's
with a
James
shotgun at one point.
With a shotgun. Here's James getting eaten and puked on and then hitting back with like with a pipe wrench. That's not how the game works, bro.
Yeah.
You run. You run away because the shit is scary. Because you can't fight it. And if you could maybe put one down, there are 10 behind him.
Yep.
You run. Mm-hmm. You run, bro. This trailer was weird. It feels poorly thought out.
It does.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the game is not that
disingenuous.
I hope that I don't, on my first playthrough, get a machine gun to take down Pyramid Head with.
It's like, welcome to Silent Hill 2, a game of psychological horror. Please be aware that you might be frightened. Bonus unlock activated minigun.
Now remember, like in that those kind of things aren't uncommon for the New Game Plus runs. In fact, in Silent Hill 3, you can unlock essentially a Sailor Moon wand that's also a lightsaber to kill things in.
Yeah, because you're just having fun at that point.
But you're just having fun. But the first playthrough of that game is like, oh God, I need to run from everything.
Oh yeah, you are a tiny little girl running through the best soundtrack that's ever been made.
Yep. All right, let's talk about some more things. Judas. It's a game that is being made by Ken Levine Studio. It is essentially their new BioShock game.
Yep, it's Ken Levine and like some CDPR people, I think too.
I think so, yeah.
Who experienced some turmoil last year as well, more layoffs and shit, right? I can't like from what I understand, you know, Ken Levine has his history. He has his issues.
I could tell you his history is not great.
But he did give us BioShock. Right. Unfortunately, he also gave us BioShock Infinite, but I don't think that was entirely his fault. I think he had to release that game a lot sooner than he would have liked.
Yep.
But yeah, this looked a lot like BioShock in just enough of a different way that I was really, really here for it. And it wasn't until the next day that I found out it was Ken Levine and I was like, oh, that makes fucking sense. I want the game more now.
Yep.
Like, straight up, just give it to me.
Super excited about it. They showed off, they got into the VR stuff for a little bit. They showed off Metro Awakening VR.
Yeah, that was funny because as soon as that started, I was like, oh shit, that kind of looks like a Metro game.
Yeah.
But it's VR, it can't be. But they definitely stole the aesthetic, and then it's like, Metro.
Yeah, I've only like, ever played the first Metro game, and I've read the first Metro book. But that's my full experience with it.
Yep.
And a great, great book, by the way. Fuck, it's so good. Like, if you've never read, like, Metro 2033, and you're into some, like, dark dystopian shit, it is, like, chef's kiss so good.
Much like the Witcher series, and I guess this is just that part of the world. The Balkans, y'all.
Yeah.
They
went through some shit.
Yeah. Much like the Witcher, the first game is a passion project based on a book that a lot of people loved by a studio that was in a little bit over its head.
And it is janky.
And it's janky, and the graphics are a little weird, but they're shooting for the moon.
Yep.
The second and third Metro games are fucking works of art. They're incredible, and they are as good as the book is. Wow. Like those games are phenomenal, especially Exodus, which was the third one. Like, goddamn, those are great games. And they go so hard that their survival modes are fucking survival modes. Like in every way possible. You're trading out gas filters. You have to wipe your mask when it gets dirty. You know, it's so cool.
All right, we're almost done here. Let's knock out a few more before we get to the big one.
Yep.
Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yep, can't wait.
Looks good. Thanks, Capcom.
Looks good. Yep, I'm in. I wish it was co-op.
It's a Monster Hunter-style game, but single player. There you go. That's
give me a co-op one.
Rise of the Ronin. They showed a trailer.
Oh, yeah. That's by the people who make Neo. You know, this is Team Ninja. Ninja Theory? Maybe. There's a ninja. It's Koei Tecmo. Anyway, the people who make Neo, crazy complicated combat, very, very, like if you took Sekiro.
I am playing Sekiro right now, and I was watching the trailer to that going, I don't know, man, this might be too hardcore for me.
Imagine if you took like all the difficulty of Sekiro and put in the controls of Street Fighter.
Yep.
Like straight up, it's like, oh yeah, you absolutely have to be able to parry with perfect timing and know your enemy's moveset and know your moveset and know how they clash
The wind is blowing.
A la Sekiro and Souls games. But also, you can animation cancel. Also, so can your enemies.
Yeah.
Also, you have a bunch of tools. Also, so do your enemies. Also, there are 12 different weapon types that you and your enemy can be using with different stances for each of them.
Yep.
Good luck.
So, yeah, it looks good.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It looks like it'll be fun. Until Dawn is getting remastered for both PC and PS5.
We didn't need this. Where's Bloodborne? Fuck you.
Yeah, I feel that way. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how everything kind of wrapped up. I'm going to kind of... They said that on February 6th, there's going to be a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth State of Play.
Cool.
We can skip over that.
Yep.
Let's talk about the big thing. We saw a trailer, and I need you all to understand right now that we saw a trailer for Death Stranding 2. And I need you to understand that it took every ounce of willpower that I had on the show that we produced together to not make this entire podcast about this 10-minute trailer.
Yep.
Because I wanted to.
Oh, man, me too.
Death Stranding 2, we got to see the trailer for it. Norman Reedus obviously back as the main character, Sam Porter Bridges. Leah Sado, which, by the way, she's getting so much American film time right now. So excited about
something
that
we didn't talk about in the prelude, and we'll try and talk about it next week, is last week we watched a movie called Crimes of the Future by Daddy Cronenberg. I say that because his son also makes movies, so I couldn't just say Cronenberg. The adult Cronenberg. Yep. And with Leah Sado, and she was incredible in it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
the movie was wonderful. Maybe one of my favorite Cronenbergs. Like, goddamn, that was a cool movie. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Leah Sado, much more love for her at this point.
Of that
now.
Movie would have made Giger so happy.
Oh yeah. Oh
like,
yeah.
Like, oh, so good. But yeah, Death Stranding 2, we saw the trailer for it. Fucking, you know, Kojima does it again.
Yeah. So the first thing, like, just to top it off, like, the trailer starts, and, like, there's Leah Sado with her weird face mask that's also hands that also do things like, you know, wipe her cheek and light her cigarette. Not with a lighter, but with fucking flame magic.
Out of the hands that are her mask.
Out of the hands that are part of her uniform. She has hands. She has arms. They do things, too. She just has extra hands up by her neck. That she wears on her coat. Yep. I don't know what to tell you about this.
It's
fucking weird. But like, she's there performing a surgery, and I see a black cat with wings teleport onto the shoulder of a man dressed a lot like a captain and a pirate and a train conductor at the same time. And I look at him, and I type to James, "Is that fucking George Miller?" And he's like, I'm not sure. And I just like,
I don't know what George Miller looks like.
And I have to do a quick Google search to like, give me a picture of George Miller right now. And it's like, here you go. And I'm like, it's fucking George Miller. George Miller is in this video game. Like,
George Miller.
He wasn't busy enough making Furiosa. Like he appeared in Death Stranding 2. Like kind of a lot, it looks like. Yeah. Like he's a character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to see that. There's a new puppet character.
Yeah, there's a puppet character.
Who is intentionally animated at a lower frame rate than the other characters. Yeah. I cannot fathom how difficult that was to do.
So there's this thing that Kojima put online where he has one of Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio puppets, which if you didn't see Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio,
holy
shame
shit.
On you. Watch that shit. It is incredible. Best stop motion I've ever seen in anything ever. Like by far. It's a masterwork. But there's Kojima holding one of those and then holding the puppet from his game next to each other. And you're like, Guillermo del Toro was in the last game. He literally just like told him what to do. And he just lowers the frame rate of all the puppet's animations. So it looks like the puppet is animated in stop motion while everything around him is live. It's insane. And it looks incredible.
Yep. I could talk about the trailer for ages. Mm-hmm. It was very fortuitous. I was literally...
You don't want to talk about Rockstar Joker,
Troy Baker?
Homo Ludens Troy Baker. Like, with his axe guitar with electric powers that he fights a cyborg ninja with?
Who he's leading a faction called Homo Demons?
Yeah, the Homo Demons. Kojima... made this a compelling fucking character. Because it is a genuinely compelling character in the trailer. What is happening? Why does he have Joker makeup on?
He takes off this gold mask. This is the character who died in the last game.
Oh yeah, died right at the end.
And has now been resurrected and is wearing a gold mask. And when he takes the gold mask off, he's got like Crow or Joker makeup on underneath. And uses an electric guitar... which also shoots lightning.
Oh, yeah, it does.
To, because this is a Kojima game, attack a cyborg ninja.
Well, to be fair, the cyborg ninja attacked him first.
Oh, very true.
Yeah, it attacked his men, and then he was fighting it, and he was holding his own. And then the trailer ended.
And I need you to understand that we are describing only 30 seconds of what is a 10-minute trailer.
Yeah, it was long. It was a good preview. Because Kojima can do that kind of shit because you're going to watch it all and you're going to be like, what the fuck?
And then 5 million YouTube accounts just started up to say, hey, we've got to dissect this trailer real quick, y'all.
Let's go frame by frame. And oh my God, those are the smoke is making.
Yeah, somebody saw that. So he made movie posters of all the main characters.
Yep.
And we're not even talking about the fact that Ellie Fanning, the musical artist, is playing a main character in this. Like that, we just glossed over that fucking fact. But he's been doing movie posters for all of them. And all I'm saying is that Kojima, I know that you listen to this show. Holy shit, please produce those posters so I can own one.
Yeah, no, I would own them. I would put them on my wall. They're rendered in the game engine.
Yep.
And let's not forget, and I just need to humble brag this out, and I don't know why I'm considering it a brag. It's because I really love Horizon Zero Dawn and Guerrilla Studios, and Horizon Forbidden West is a gift to Kojima Studios, the Decima engine.
They gave him the engine.
That they are making this game in, and it's incredible. And you can tell in this that it's been updated to the Forbidden West stuff because it's like, God, it looks good. Yeah. It looks so good that these movie posters almost look like the real people. Yeah.
Somebody today, and by the way, Twitter's been a lot of, when the original Death Stranding stuff came out, there was a lot of negative talk about it because they're like, oh, it's just a walking simulator.
Yeah.
It's just, you're just delivering packages. Fucker, get out of here.
Get out of here.
That's not what this game's about.
Yeah.
But somebody took the Léa Seydoux poster and zoomed in, as one does, and noticed that the smoke from the cigarette that she's taking a drag off of, because Kojima is a smoker, so his characters are as well, made little BTs, the ghosts from the game, in the smoke.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's just...
And then the baller fucking move. After the trailer's over with, they cut to actually Kojima there with like one of the heads of Sony.
The head of Sony Studios,
Head of Sony Studios. And they're just talking. And then Kojima, like the fucking badass he is, goes, hey, by the way, I'm working on a new tactical espionage game, i.e. what he used to do with Metal Gear.
Yeah, he's like, basically, I'm making not Metal Gear.
And they're like, can you tell us more about it? He's like, nope. And then walked out of the room.
Yep. And then they just panned away from a movie studio, not a video game studio.
Yeah, he was at... It wasn't Universal.
Was it MGM? I'm not sure.
It's one of the big ones. Yeah. It was actually
he comes out and it's like Physint. Physint.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the working title or at least the code word title.
Code word title.
Yeah.
And yeah, he pans back and it's one of the biggest movie studios in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just sitting there going, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... Look, the whole games industry fucked up when they let Kojima off of Konami's leash because, like, he spent some time, he developed his own studio, and instantly, it took years and years of work. I'm sorry, that was a lot of hard work. Made a game that was a motherfucking banger that people are still discovering today is amazing, and now he's just cranking stuff out.
Yeah. He's got multiple titles in the pipeline.
Yeah.
We still have
the Jordan Peele horror title on the horizon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He's working on a horror movie thing with Jordan Peele. So, you know, Death Stranding is becoming a movie.
Yeah.
So I assume we'd probably see that maybe before Death Stranding 2 gets released.
Maybe. Was it 25 that they announced for Death Stranding 2 or 24?
I want to say it's 25.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even still, that's like...
Yeah, I think that they even said that, the Death Stranding 2 is not coming out this year.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean...
Which is rare for a PlayStation State of Play, because normally they try to keep everything like very much within this year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's Kojima, so what are you going to do, right?
Yeah,
Sony Studios.
Yeah. The games take a long time to make, guys.
They do, and I'm so excited. Everything about it looks so fucking good. God, I love it. I could talk about Kojima the way that you could talk about some of your favorite movie directors.
Oh, like, absolutely.
For hours on end. But, unfortunately, that is everything that we have for the show this week. Don't forget that you can head over to goodnight.gg to become a patron of our show. You can head over to facebook.com/GNGGcast where you can chat with us, as well as at GNGGcast on Twitter to talk to me directly. We're working on setting up our YouTube and every account and everything. I'm working on some other stuff in the background. You'll see the fruits of very soon. But until next time, for Hector, this is James.
And for James, this is Hector.
Everyone, good night.
And good game.